the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, friends. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to help brighten up your Saturday in the month of May. Good morning, Mae.
In the month of May. This is my month, isn't it? Thank you, Fred Lynn. Is your mother living, Fred, your parents? Well, I want to send my love this on Mother's Day to Fred Lynn's mother. He must have a fine mother because he's a fine kid.
Thank you.
Yes. And how are you all this morning? Tomorrow's Mother's Day, as I said. It rolls around and it's always a wonderful day. It has its deep sadness to me always because, of course, I have no mother living. But I have such a vivid memory of the mother's days that I had there with her, and all the days, you know. I'm going to send my love to all the mothers who are listening in this morning, and I want to send my love to every mother in my little hometown of Galena. Not a great many of them are left that I knew so well, but I send them love, every one of them. It's a dear little town. It has beauty, a river flowing at its feet, and beautiful big hills on its banks. Oh, how my mother loved those hills. Get up, children, she say. There's lights on the mountains on the hills this morning. This little town has something that I want to tell you about, and sometime I'll tell you more about. One of the loveliest rest homes for old folks that you ever saw, with a sweet, kind family keeping it. You couldn't imagine a thing lovelier. It's in a beautiful big home, one of the prettiest in Galena, one of the largest. The former home of Fanny Mathis, Mrs. Fanny Mathis, who lives here now in Springfield with their daughters. And it has also something in my little town that few little towns have, do you know? I'm sorry to tell you that. Doctors, you know, they don't have them. This little town of Galena has one of the finest physicians in the state of Missouri. And he loves his home and he intends to stay there. You couldn't run him off with the sheriff. Good for him. You know, I thought I'd just read today some poems and some tributes to Mother by our own Ozarkian writers. I do wish I had time for a lot of them. But time flies so. I get down here, seems to me I've just been here 5 minutes. Maybe it seems an hour to the rest of you, but that's all it seems to me. But I want to dedicate everything to the mothers. What a wonderful word is mother, one of the greatest words in the language. Any language, any human language. When Jesus was dying on the cross and his beloved mother was weeping so bitterly at his feet, with his dying breath he said to John, the beloved disciple, John, behold thy mother. That's all. He wanted John to know that she was his mother from now until the end of her life, and wanted him to care for her. His last thought was for his mother. Well, here's a little verse for the mothers all, just the good, sweet, ordinary mothers. I'm thankful to God for a restful night, for the blessed gift of air and light, for the joyous gift of work to do, for food to cook and tea to brew, for the satisfying daily care of all the things my loved ones wear. But mostly I'm glad because I know as I cook and clean and polish and sew that wherever so many are needing me, there is the place I'm serving thee. I was going to start the Ozark poems with a beautiful poem this morning by Carl B. Icke, up at Deepwater, where he's a West Plains fellow, really. We all think a lot of Carl. He was chosen the first poet laureate of the Ozarks some years ago. The poem, the one is a favorite of mine, is titled It Must Have Been My Mother, but I've lost it, so help me. I was going to have it kind of surprise to Carl. And had it not have, I lost it, and I had it not a week ago. And Betty and I have put in 1 hour. We put in 1 hour last night hunting it among the piles and piles of files. Betty gets so amused at my losing things, she just doubles up with laughter. Oh, I can lose them. I'm glad she can laugh about it. But I do have a poem of Carl's that will go nicely on this Mother's Day. It's titled Heritage, Our Heritage. We do have a great heritage left when we have a good mother, don't we? More than we can ever know. I wasn't born in a mansion, but only a house, sort of small, with vines that grew over a trellis high up on a garden wall. There were plenty of lovely pictures of kin folks. Some passed away. I can see them yet quite clearly, those scenes of yesterday. But there in that humble cottage, one memory bright I recall, my mother who taught me of Jesus and that he cared for us all. Oh, I have been thousands of places, north, east, the south, and the west. Yet still there are spots I remember that somehow surpassed all the rest. It isn't the streets of the cities, their bright lights, that often enthrall. It isn't the hills or the prairies, come spring, come winter or fall. But rather a plain, simple homestead. Pretentious? Well, I wouldn't say so. But with a mother who taught me of Jesus, who's followed wherever I go. You may bask in the sunshine of riches and gain fame from the world and renown, but I'll take the joys and the blessings of just a wee small country town, where people there all know each other, a neighbor is really a friend, and even the births, deaths, and weddings made news without any end. A home in such setting is richer than bank stocks or gold e'er can be, a mother who told me of Jesus and who lived the life she taught me. Friends, I want to say one thing here for just a moment. Last week was Humane Society Week in Springfield, and our people tried earnestly to make a big lift for the Humane Society here and did pretty well. They're doing it again this week. I understand some of the businessmen are going to shine shoes just for the fun of it and to make the money. We must have a shelter for these poor, lost, and starving animals, and we simply must do like other civilized people. Humane societies all over America, you know. We must have a good one here. We're the only city of its size in all the country that does not have a splendid humane society and good laws. That's the truth. You just try any unusual cruelty in St. Louis or in Chicago or Boston or any of those cities and see if you don't land with a good-sized fine or else looking out through the bars. I was horrified last winter at the person, whoever it was, that caught the starlings. And I know starlings eat up everything and all, but they've got to eat. Birds, poor things. Somebody, anyway, caught the starlings and tramped them, put them in a bag and squashed them with his feet and killed them with that slow agony of death. I don't even want to talk about it, but it roused a good deal of resentment right here in this city. I hate to think that what would have happened if that had been in St. Louis. So please give what you can to help the Humane Society. They're trying to build a new building. I always do what I can. Now back to Mother's Day and the Ozark poets. I read a cute little squib in the Arkansas Farmer. I just ran across it by Mrs. Cecil Ritchie of Nashville, Arkansas. She says, I'm the old lady from Pokeberry Town. I wear a poke bonnet and a polka dot gown. I can't dance the polka nor sing a sweet ballad, but I'm fond of wild onions and good old poke salad. I'm a backwoodser from Arkansas. Well, good for you, my dear. You couldn't be from a finer state. There are so many fine Ozark poets. I think we rate as highly as any regional poetry in America, the Ozark region. A lot of it doesn't measure up just as other regions, but it has its merits, all of it. And now in memory of that dear poet Carl Almy Wilson, who lived way down at the jumping-off place in the Arkansas hills, and so gifted and had so little chance in life, I must read one of her poems to you. I've recited it 100 times, I bet you, to audiences all over the country, and they always loved it. And I've made hundreds of copies, and here it is. Mrs. Alta Bear, I'll dedicate this to you because you told me you loved Ozark poetry so much. It's a little old lady talking. You've seen many just like it. My man, he died. I lost my home. I'm getting old and helpless, too. Can't churn nor milk nor get the wood nor mind the kids like I used to do. I live around amongst my boys. A week or two is long enough to hear the jowring of their wives. I leave before it gets too rough. Sarepty, that's my gal, you know. She's kind and good. But then there's Joe, her man. He always hates to see Sarepty spend a dime on me. It seems I barely get my old bones settled into place till it's time to up and move again. I'm always up and on the chase. A body needs a fireplace and a feather bed that fits so good. These narrow cots are short or cold, a mattress like a lump of wood. Got her off on a cot, I guess, off her bed. I wished I had a little house, a garden spot to walk around, a hen or two. And maybe a man. Oh, Lord, I'd love to settle down. Isn't that a sweet little poem? You've all seen it, where the poor little old woman sells her little home, and she loans the money to the boys, and They can't pay it back. Oh, you've seen it, you know. Now, Ma, you come live with us. And Mary Elizabeth Mankey, one of the truly great poets of the Ozarks, who died and left us not long ago. My, what a poet and a woman she was. She immortalized everything in her life with poetry, everything that touched her. Way down in the hills of Forsyth, even immortalized dear old Granny Blake. I'll read you this. Granny Blake lived all alone beside a woodsy hill. It was a pleasant place to live, so quiet and so still. A little orchard squandered its riches on the grass, and friendly hounds ran out to bark when anyone would pass. I never left with empty hands from happy visits there. It seemed so little did she have, and yet so much to spare. That's a wonderful line, isn't it? From off a dusty little shelf, she'd take an ancient book. Now, this is nigh my granny's age, she'd say with piercing look, and I know you'd love to read it. It was brung from Tennessee, and you can take it home with you, but fetch it back to me. Then she'd shake her bending peach trees and snip her 4 o'clocks and tie up a bunch of knobby seeds from her gorgeous hollyhocks. Today I went and stood by Granny's little bed, for Granny Blake was dying, that's what the doctor said. She stretched her frail old hands to me and whispered soft and low, I'm awful proud you've come, I've been a-looking for you so. And then she says, and now you just wait till I get well, and then we'll go and see if my old turkey hens hatch down by the blackthorn tree. And this was the greatest gift of all the gifts that Granny gave, this faith and hope and courage with which she faced the grave. Now, I've been hurrying. It's my time's up, Miller. There's so many fine Ozark poets. I've dealt with them for years through the paper and all, and the inimitable Ruth Tyler at Neo Show and Cora College and down at Eureka and Hazel Dagley Haven at Rolla's a wonderful poet, and Perry Mason and Gertrude Gideon Williams and Sylvie McDaniel and Lyda Piles. I couldn't begin to name them, and the far-famed Rosa Marinoni, and I'll close with this little tiny verse. She wrote this, I am a woman. She writes all over the country. I am a woman, not because I have loved, not because I have wept, not because I have sinned, but being a mother, I am a woman. And then Samantha at Hurley and Edsel Ford and so many of them. Well, my time's up. I've got to stop. I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.